Thanks for tuning in again, everybody. We're back with your favorite podcast, Luca's Tigers and Bronze. Oh my.
Luca Nation. I got a million topics on my mind, and some might be a little bit more polarizing.
You got your mind on your money and your money on your mind.
I'll start with the thing that pisses me off the most. I was talking to my buddy today, and I think my disdain for LeBron is misguided. I have found a new enemy. It's LeBron stans. It's LeBron stans. Don't get confused with LeBron fans. LeBron stans. And that's people who follow LeBron blindly, are his biggest fan. He's their king. He could do no wrong. And they can't have dialogue. And I'll explain. This has happened. And I'll tell me if I'm wrong or right here. This happened basically every season of his career, right? Early in the season, you see LeBron is still the best player in the world. Every once in a while, they'll say, LeBron is easily the best top three player in the world. Do you agree or disagree? You see this from all these accounts. Then at some point, maybe 1, 2, or 3 months later, there's a post about how his teammates are not doing enough for this team to win. And I'm at a loss for words, right? At some point, you're like, this guy's the greatest player in the world, maybe the greatest of all time. But yet it's always the narrative that his teammates are not doing enough. This was the narrative at the Heat. This is the narrative at the Cavs. And again, this is the narrative here. Let me remind you some of the players he's played with. He's played with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh and Ray Allen. Whether they're past their prime or not, we could discuss, whatever. Played with Kyrie and Kevin Love. Whether those guys are past their prime or not, we could discuss. Now he's playing with Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook, Carmelo Anthony.
Talon Horton Tucker.
Talon Horton Tucker's terrible. And again, his teammates aren't doing enough. So, and let me tell you a few other things. Guys that were on his team that he shipped away, GM LeBron. Lonzo, playing for the Bulls. His shot looks better. He's shooting record from three-point percentage. The Bulls are playing incredibly well, and he's playing well. Brandon Ingram, averaging 24 points a game. People are sleeping on Brandon Ingram. 8 rebounds, 4 assists. Julius Randle, Alex Caruso. At what point, if you guys are this big fan of this guy, is there going to be some criticism or even just the discussion of, hey, if his teammates aren't playing up to par, at some point, doesn't that fall on the leader? Like, how long are we going to keep this narrative going? So that's the first thing that really kind of ticked me off. I've been seeing it all over Instagram. I do try to comment, but then I'm like, do I need to get into these Instagram arguments? Curious if you have any take on that as the Lakers fell to 500, lost to the Suns yesterday, and I'll give you my take on the Suns in a second. By the way, that whole LeBron James is into his 19th season. Chris Paul is the same age as LeBron. So,
yeah, I mean, listen, but I don't know if you watched a week ago, they played Orlando and he had a 30-point triple-double, right? He had 30, 11, and 10. And he was the oldest player in the league to have a triple-double. Now, I know stats and I know games. You know, bigger stat is the fact that they're sitting at 16 and 16 in the eighth seed of the West. You know, with the other LA team actually having a better record than them with no Kawhi. Now, I mean, look, there's a lot of ways you can, you know, a lot of ways you can look at this, right? I mean, LeBron's a fun topic. He's 37 this month, right?
Just to give you guys a real quick update, Orlando Magic are 6-25 this season.
Okay. But 37 years old, dropping a 30-point triple-double, that's never been done. That's the point. It doesn't matter that it's against a bad team. You know, you can't blame for what team isn't playing. There are obviously other people who have played bad teams, and no one's ever done that. So LeBron over the last 8 games, if we're talking about it, because remember, you know, I'm a Jordan guy, but we are here to talk, right? Where, you know, I say, well, I have the best Michael Jordan PSA 10, and you tell me it's off center. We sometimes check each other, right? So I'm not a LeBron stan, but I will tell you that there was a stretch recently where over 8 games, he had 39-6-5. He had 30-11-7. He had 33-9-5. He had 23-6-11. 35-4. 20-11-10. Another triple-double, not a 30-pointer. 33-6-5. 30-10-11. I mean, we talked about that game, right? The team struggled. They've had some injuries, right? And he's getting older, and Anthony Davis is out and injured, right? He's still performing at a really, really high level. And I don't know if you blame LeBron. I think it's more of you were right to start the season off. And I thought you'd be wrong, right? Because I thought that the people coming in would realize the opportunity that they had and that they would find a way to be able to gel and play together. I thought with Westbrook and Anthony Davis and Carmelo Anthony, who you guys know I'm a fan of, right? That I thought this team, and you know, it was Dwight Howard, right? I thought with this team of just all-stars at every position, albeit older all-stars, Westbrook's in his prime, right? And Anthony Davis should be in his prime, right? That this team would just be too much. They would be a juggernaut out there in the West. But what I was wrong about is it takes more than just names, right? And also the players have to be able to be willing to play together, right? And these guys, they haven't. They really haven't, right? And they would be better off with one less superstar and keeping Alex Caruso, right? Well, because look at the Suns, right? They have some stars. They don't have stars at every position. Right. And that is part of it. Right. They have stars who teach the other players how to play the game the right way. Right.
Can I interject real quick?
Of course.
The reason that you see that happening time and time again, Heat, Cavs and Lakers now, is because whenever LeBron goes, Jordan adjusted to the triangle offense, right?
Yep.
Where the offense adjusts to LeBron. Right. So you watch the Phoenix Suns, you watch the Warriors play. Sure, it's an offense that's built around Chris Paul, Devin Booker, or Steph Curry. But Steph Curry moves off the ball as well as he moves on as well as he plays on the ball. That they have a system to play. Every team I've watched that LeBron's gone to, I felt like the system had to be adjusted towards him. And I think that's why his teammates can't perform at their best, because now they have to adjust and adapt to what's best for LeBron, not what's best for the team to get W's.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, listen, I get that. But, I mean, what more do you want from LeBron? What would be the fix?
Well,
he should be playing worse? He should be moving without the ball more? I mean,
When you discredit my arguments with only the humor Cage can do. I'll tell you, and I said this in the beginning of the episode, my issue was not with LeBron. My issue is with LeBron stands, not a fan, stands. And it's that they should be able to have discourse. They should be able to have discourse.
Okay.
You can't always blame his teammates without holding LeBron accountable. He's the leader of that team. If his teammates aren't playing well, it has to fall back on him. He's the leader of the team and arguably a top three talent of all time. Isn't it on him to bring out the best in his teammates? Am I crazy of that?
You would think that he shouldn't have to. Right, you would think that he's there to play, and the team. I mean, look, you like to say he plays GM, but there is a GM. The team puts talent around him that should play with him.
He vetoed Buddy Hield coming there because he wanted these guys on the team. So he is the GM. This isn't the first time. This is just facts at this point.
Right, but I mean, so what's he supposed to do? Like, you know, he's passing the ball. Is it his fault that Talon Horton Tucker misses 8 3-pointers? I mean, is it his fault that? You know, Anthony Davis is injured. Is it his fault that, you know, Westbrook has more turnovers than points on any given night? I mean, seriously, like what would you have? We have this tagline, right? Of
yeah,
he should be making these guys better. What should he be doing to make them better? Should he be practicing more with them? Just layup lines? I mean, like what do you do to make them better? He can't make their shots go in.
So this could be a whole episode in of itself, and I'm not going to do it justice because I think it's unfair for me to sit here and critique what he's doing behind the scenes without even knowing what he's doing, because I could only see the results. So take that for what it's worth. But I do think leaders are able to customize their approach to help bring out the best in the people around them. I do believe in that. And how you do that, it's very subjective. You know, you got to get to know your players. I'll use Kobe as an example. He got to know the personalities of every player. He got to know Lamar, for example. He talked about how Lamar would shut down if someone confronting him directly, right? He would talk about how Powell played better when he got confronted directly. So just like little things about how to get to know players, how to push them, understand their buttons to bring out their best performance. Because, yes, I do agree AD should be in his prime. I guess I'd ask the question, how much of the responsibility falls on AD being in his prime, right? He came to this team where he was a number two. He was behind the best player of all time, the best five player of all time, best a great. Isn't it also on that great to help nurture that young talent, 26, 27-year-old, to help AD enter into that MVP performance type of season? I mean, it's the passing of the torch. I think it – I mean, I didn't get a chance to watch this. Kareem to Magic, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't get to watch it. It was the 80s. But I do think that is important, Cage. I do. And I wanted to discuss it here.
Yeah. I mean, listen, if I were a LeBron guy, I would just tell you, look, you know, the things change over the course of a season. People get healthy. No, not lay off. It was just, you know, a perfect example, right? 3/8 of the way through the season, right? So 17-week season, 18-week season in the NFL. So 3/8 of that would be, you know, we're talking about six, seven games into the season, people were burying Patrick Mahomes, selling off his cards, saying that the Chiefs were terrible and the Chiefs should just, you know, they're in last place in the AFC West. And they're just done. Write them off. They're broken. Well, that's where we are right now for the Lakers. We're 32 games into an 82-game season. We're 3/8 of the way through the season. Here's your comparison, right? I mean, right now, you know, a couple weeks later, the Chiefs are the number one seed looking at a bye in the AFC, right? So maybe Davis gets healthy. Maybe the team starts to figure it out. You know, maybe the team starts to win, and it's not because LeBron did anything different. The shots just start to fall. The team takes a little while to gel. You know, the team gets better, and, you know, maybe at 60 games, you're talking about a team that's now the 4 seed and looking at home court advantage for a round of the playoffs, and who knows how it ends the season.
And won 18 of 20, for sure. And won 18 of their last 20 and are trending up. It could easily flip like that.
I don't know if they'll do that. I mean, that's a lot of fucking wins. But I mean, the point is, you know, it's easy to beat on him now. I just don't – it would be easier for me to agree with you if he was also not playing 37 minutes a game. If he was also not putting up, you know, 25, 8, and 6 a night. You know, like, I understand what he's doing. I also understand what you're saying. You don't want him to be doing that, right? You want him to be involving the rest of the team. But
judging a player solely by his box score is the biggest mistake you could make in the NBA. It's one of the most ridiculous things you could do. First off, rebounds aren't all created the same, right? Because you do understand that. I don't have to go too deep. Like, offensive and defensive rebounds are way different. Yeah. And teams that have...
I get it.
And teams box out for one guy to grab the rebound too. So LeBron could be the... points are great, all that. But... I will say that judge him, and I will talk about this. Like, the Chiefs turned it around, but they have one of the top five coaches of all time, Andy Reid. The Lakers had Phil Jackson. The Bulls had Phil Jackson. These are legendary coaches, right? The Warriors had
Knicks Steve had Kerr. Phil Jackson. He sucked.
You want to talk? Not really my argument, because a coach still needs really good talent, but sure, yes, the Knicks have Phil Jackson. Yeah.
It's true.
My question is also, how much does player development fall on Vogel, right? On the coach? Mm-hmm. Because the players there have not developed at all. They look like they've gotten worse as the season's gone on. And all the players that the Lakers have traded away are miraculously better. Dude, they are. I mean, I'm not trying to like poop on the Lakers. I'm just trying to have a discussion around basketball. Lonzo's having a career year. Brandon Ingram's having a career year. Randall had a career year last year. Caruso's having a great year.
Kuzma's wearing a crazy sweater.
Let's move on. I could tell when Cage loses interest. What are you thinking about these days?
Dude, I mean, we know you don't like LeBron. And
that's right not now, what I said.
Anybody would be a fool to argue against you on LeBron right now. The team looks terrible. They're 16-16. I mean, they're literally a 500 team. They just got beat again, you know, and they're 5-5 in their last 10. You know, they just don't look that good. You know, they look like an old team. They look beat up. They don't look like a team that's playing good basketball. But as bad as they look, they're a playoff team still. A playoff team that I think with the talent they have can turn it around. I get it. But here's the thing.
Last question on this topic.
Shoot.
The Suns knocked the Lakers out of the postseason last year, right?
Yeah.
I believe this is the first time they matched up. Shouldn't this be a bit of a revenge game?
I mean, yeah, except half the people out there weren't Lakers last year, you know, when they got beat. So they don't have that whole, you know, Westbrook and Carmelo were not there. And also regular season, man, you know, I hate to say it because I love the NBA and I think it's one of the more exciting, you know, games to watch. It's easy to watch. It's quick. The regular season just doesn't, you know, they don't get up for it. They just don't.
I agree.
I mean, the Suns win a lot of games. What are they, 25-5 or something like that? I mean, it's just amazing, you know, record that they have. But yeah, I guess you'd expect the Lakers to come out and be a little, you know, a little more fire. But the Suns are a better team. Better team. You know, that's the important part. Better team. But even that, as good as the Suns were, they didn't win it all last year. Right now, who's the favorite of the whole thing? Who's going to win it all?
I mean, I'm not going to give you one favorite. I'll give you four. Say Suns, and Warriors out of the West, and the Bucks and the Nets out of the East would be my 14.
I think the Nets are a prohibitive betting favorite, I think, right now. I think that Durant is fantastic. I think it's difficult to bet only because of COVID and craziness and who knows what's going to wind up happening. But my play today is actually Kyrie.
Nice.
Right? I should ask you, are we allowed to make plays today?
Let's talk about that. So... No, I mean, honestly, out of all of the posts that Corporate's done, I do believe that the question should be raised, you know, what responsibility do we have for giving plays? But I mean, you commented, feel free to, you know, take it since you made the joke, but I thought it was a reasonable post, but I think what we saw was our community come out and kind of have our back in the sense that, first off, we don't charge for our plays ever. You know, we're never charging. And what we do try to do is take a fish to water, as I say, like an idiot every single time. Really teach a man how to fish is what I'm trying to say, right? You know, for example, that was a Ben Simmons play. You know, COVID is rampant right now, whether we like it or not. And I'm not even going to talk about that part. But COVID is rampant. A lot of people aren't playing. There's a lot of postponed games and a lot of desperate teams in general. It wouldn't surprise me if Ben Simmons got moved. And I do believe that if Ben Simmons got moved, this would go up.
Your thought there and the thought process is something that is smart to teach people, right? Look where other people are not looking. Try to find something where there is a low risk, low downside with a reward for yourself. That's the same thing with any type of commodity, any type of asset, anything, right? We had on... folks who talked about that they were buying Deshaun Watson cards, right? We had people buying now that's a tough sell for the world, but the card prices have been beaten down so much that the people who have we've had on as guests who talk about buying Deshaun Watson, they have a theory there. They understand it could be zero. They understand that their investment can go to zero, that man may never set foot on a football field again. But the thought is that the downside, because the cards have gone down so much, the downside is so low to that investment that if he starts to play again, if he does get a chance somewhere, that the upside, as opposed to the risk, is great enough for them to take the investment. Same thing with Benson. I gave you 10 guys. It's not about the guy or the play, and it's not just follow it blindly. It's the thought process that goes into it, and people should start to think about that themselves. I think that's helpful to folks, and I love Cardboard's post. I got to tell you, I love it. And I hope that there are people who listen to us today for the first time because of it. Cardporn has a huge reach, even larger than ours. And there might be people who are chiming in thinking, well, let me check these guys out, which is great. Thank you for that, Cardporn.
And I apologize for starting with my LeBron hate.
Well,
I don't apologize for that.
But, I mean, I love the eyeballs that are brought to it. And I also love the tenor of the message, which is we should be looking out for people in the hobby. Right. We should not be trying to be folks who are dumping bags on new players. You know, like you shouldn't be at the poker table taking advantage of the easy money. Right. And, you know, I mean, people do it all the time, but that person's never going to go back to the poker table. And I guess you can't take advantage of them again. Well, instead, go ahead, please.
Well, I think our show does at least that's my intention, is to educate those new people. Right. Like our goal is, I was new a year and a half ago. Here's what I've learned. Here's what I'm doing now for free.
Some of our picks are so absurd that I don't know whether or not anybody should really go out and do. I gave a friggin' Hello Kitty play last week, right? But you know what? I think I did a good job explaining why that was something that I was thinking about, right? You know, we've given some of the most oddball things in the world, Kobe wearing Santa Claus outfits. People love that shit.
Santa Claus wearing a Pro Set outfit.
It's just nuts what comes across here. Thousands of plays probably over the course of this. Some episodes we get four or five. But it's not about the play. It's not about dumping the stuff. It's about the thought process that goes into it. And I think it's supposed to be educational, right? We're not doing it in a, here's the five cards that we just bought last week and we think you should buy this week so that our price and our values can go up. I make it as clear as day that I'm not giving you a play that I'm buying. Right, I'm not giving you a play. The only time ever that we would have a play out there that I'll buy, you buy, is like a Topps Now, where like you can buy it for the same price as me. Anybody can buy as many as they want that day. You know, there's an unlimited supply, you know, Mikey Williams style. And even that, guys, I didn't even jump on because I was afraid, you know, that anybody would be like, oh, he bought it. And then I don't even do it. Right. And if we talk about a card that I own, I say I own it. Right. And I don't want bag holders because I've been a bag holder myself. I mean, you know, no one's perfect in this. And we all get caught up in the high-flying hobby. I mean, I've purchased stuff. I mean, I bought Pokemon the end of last year, beginning of this year for my set that I probably bought and paid higher for some of the cards in that set than anyone's ever paid in the history of the market for some of those cards because I needed them to finish the set. And I guarantee that I took a big L on some of those. I'm still holding them, right? And you know, because you live and you learn, right? I mean, you just do. So no one wants to be the person who's telling somebody to buy something and it goes down. That is definitely not the goal. I love the Cardboard Post because it brings a spotlight to that. It brings a spotlight to our responsibility, not just us podcast, the old hobby community. We talked about this with Josh Luber yesterday. Great episode. Please take a listen if you haven't listened to that one yet. It talks about how we need to grow the hobby and how this is a successful thing if we focus more on the long term than the short term. So, you know, I love the post, except for the part where it's like, hey, influencers, you should stop giving plays, right? I'm not charging for a play. I'm definitely not telling you guys go out there and buy this because we're going to make it go up in value, that this is now something that's really not worth it. But because we're talking about it, it should go up just because of the masses buying it. And then we can dump it on somebody else. Absolutely not. If we talk about a card, it's because we think there's a reason why. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. You're lagging a little bit. That's why there's only one part of the post I wanted to discuss because I think it's a good discussion. It's the flippers versus collectors cage. So collectors, you know, people that think of themselves, sometimes they have this or air of we do it the right way and flippers are bad for the hobby, or at least that was kind of the context of some of the comments. And I'm curious, like, at the end of the day, and if you guys are if this is you, please reach out because I would love to have a call with you. At the end of the day, you have to sell, whether if you sell 1 minute later, 1 month later, 1 year later, or 10 years later. At the end of the day, you're going to sell those cards, right? You're going to move on to something else. So to say that a flipper is bad for the hobby and a collector is good, it feels like you're just using an arbitrary timeline, but the end result is the same, unless you're planning to take these cards and you're buried with them. Any thoughts on that? Because that one, that doesn't make sense to me. And I've talked about this at length and I've studied markets and market behavior. I think a healthy market needs flippers who provide short-term liquidity and speculation, investors, people that hold short to midterm, and collectors, people who are willing to hold long-term. I think if you have a market that has all three, that's a healthy market. If you have too many collectors, you don't have any liquidity. You have no one coming in and buying.
Listen, the hobby was full of collectors in 2016.
No one's buying.
You know what the hobby wasn't full of? People. The hobby was, as Josh Luber called it, dead. Right? It was a bunch of collectors. There were no records being set every week. There were no buyout offers on fraction. Hell, there was no give me a break. Think of where the hobby is now. You think that's because the same couple of dozen collectors are collecting their cards? No. The hobby is where it is. There is a card porn because of all the people in the hobby. Because of the fact that you're right, there are flippers. There are collectors. There are short-term and long-term views on the cards. And you know what? Some flippers win and some flippers lose. But you're right. It is a part of the hobby. You know, PSA's valuation is what it is. They've been collectors and set registry for quite some time. But why PSA got crazy last year, and why there's a backlog, is because there were short-term collectors who were buying raw, grading, and trying to flip those cards. Let's not get a little silly with, you know, misunderstanding what's actually propping the hobby up right now. Because I'll tell you one thing. It's not collectors. Collectors are not breaking product like crazy. You know, they're all collectors, right? But even those people who say, I'm a collector, it's funny how they are also selling now. The right number comes because everybody's in the hobby, all these short-term folks, all this liquidity, and all of a sudden, those LeBron collectors, the collectors, somebody offers them enough money on their card, all of a sudden,
is that buyer now a bag holder? Is that buyer now a bag holder?
That buyer, no, that buyer was smart. He actually bumped the grade up on the card. But, you know, I mean, now it's worth even more. I mean, no, but I mean, the point, of course, here, guys, is you have to have it all, right? You have to have the, just like you're saying, you have to have the liquidity. You have to have those flippers. You have to have all different entry points and exit points. You have to have that entire, you know, part of the market. But my issue is really just with the whole, like, no one should give plays, right? That's kind of silly, right? What should we talk about, right? I mean, how are people going to learn about cards? Half of what we do with the plays is exposing folks to cards they don't even know are out there. I mean, honestly, how many people heard of Sportflix before I started talking about them? You know, how much of the audience has been exposed to UFC cards? Hell, you talk about soccer cards. I'm learning about a whole new sport. I'm learning about a whole new thing. These are part of the picks and the plays. It's not because we're showing them. And first of all, to the extent that anybody thinks we're influencers, thank you. You know, that's like
saying, I can hardly influence my dad to go to the gym.
I can't influence my kid to brush their teeth. I mean, come on now. You know, like, give me a break. Go to bed at a reasonable time. I can't influence anything. But I understand. And listen, let's swing the pendulum to the other direction, right? We understand that there are literally thousands of people listening to this episode. Thousands of people listening to this episode in the first 24 hours, which is amazing. And I have to stop, take a breath, think about what I just said, and say thank you to each and every one of you who are listening. It is amazing. We've been doing this 500 and change days. And when it started, it was just like, you know, Andrew's cousin, Larry, you know, the random weirdo who came in and got smoothies from Andrew.
Yeah. Egot would call me every day. He's like, do you need a guest? Because I know you're fighting for guests. I was like, Egot, not yet. And we had Josh Luper on, and somebody who listens to our show who wanted to connect us, who has a relationship, ask Josh if you would come on our show. I remember the days we had like five listens and I would have to like message 100 guests to get one.
Yeah.
Now people are, it's thanks to you guys. We say
so
that.
So we don't take that lightly, right? And that's the point, right? We understand. And the point that Card Porn is trying to make in their post is something we get, right? I'm actually upset to lose anyone in the hobby. And I've said it many, many times on here that if you've been beat up by the hobby this year, if you're somebody who has taken an L or seven L's, reach out to us. Send me a DM. People have done it. And we've talked through other strategies, how to get out from under some of those losses, what to do with it now, how to find some liquidity on a car that might be dead, and what are some other things that I'm looking at, you know, where they can look for something else. So I guess it's easy to kind of paint with a broad stroke. And look, they didn't mention us, you know, by name, but it clearly was you they were talking about. I like the post. I really do. I think it's great. I think it brings, you know, attention to the fact that one way or another, we all have to be mindful that there are new people coming in, and that new blood is going to determine the success of this hobby that we all love over the next 3, 5, 10, 20 years. Right. So to the extent that you can help. The extent that you can keep somebody in, the extent that you can educate, go ahead and educate. And I guess the bow I'll put on this is how we keep those people in the hobby or how we bring those new people in. Opinions are going to vary what the best way to do that is. And Andrew and I think the best way to do it is by showing up every single day and doing what we're doing. Card Porn may not agree, but we don't know who Card Porn is. We'd love to have them on. Maybe we could talk about what they think the best way for us to do it is, but they're not going to come on. We already know that. And unfortunately, while I love their takes and I love their posts and I love, pretty much 95% of what they do with the hobby, I love it all. In this instance, we're going to have to disagree. And we're going to keep doing what we're doing.
So Kyrie.
Kyrie's my play. And it's easy. Why, right? Kyrie's already won a championship. But he doesn't really get much credit for it, even though he's the one who won the championship. He's the one who sunk the championship game-winning shot.
I hate that shot so much.
Listen, but
Kevin Love play right after that, though. I got to give him props for locking down Steph on that next play, because that was tough. But sorry, keep going.
The point is Kyrie. There's a narrative about Kyrie, right? He's a weirdo. He burns sage. He's an oddball, but he is
a hell narrative of a change.
He's a hell of a player, right? And he's won a championship. And in addition to Durant trying to win a championship with two teams, Kyrie would be trying to win a championship with two teams. But you add on this, the Nets last year couldn't get past the Bucks with Durant and Harden. Now I'm glossing over this because Harden was hobbled. But right now, the team is Harden and Durant. If the Nets get past the Bucks and get to the finals and happen to win, the narrative, I believe, will be that while Durant and Harden alone couldn't do it, once they got Kyrie back into the mix, they were able to do it. Kyrie then becomes the, quote, difference maker, a guy who now has won two championships and has already done some movies. I mean, Uncle Drew was a masterpiece of cinematic glory. I got to tell you, you got to check that out if you haven't seen it.
Ian loves that movie.
Ian loves that movie. He does. I was just going to say that. Ian loves Uncle Drew. He does. He loves Uncle Drew. But point is, you could be looking at somebody who is viewed very differently at the end of this year than he is now. He's somebody who right now is viewed as a great talent, who is an oddball, who has a championship because he got lucky and played with LeBron. But if he wins two and is the quote-unquote difference maker, getting the Nets over the hump and wins a second one with a second team with Brooklyn, first time that Brooklyn would be winning, obviously it's the Nets, but first time Brooklyn would be winning a championship. Now you got some fun stuff. And let me tell you, people aren't looking there yet, because I saw last week RPAs from 2012 for less than $200 selling. You know the gold standard that we like, the one that has Giannis signature,
the gold standard,
the RPA. Right, one of them sold last week for like $285. There's a couple of them on eBay for $500 or best offer, which means you probably can get it for $300.
There's before Giannis, right? 2012.
Yes, this is 2012. So there's a select one right now available, 2012-13 select RPA, for I think it was less than $300, right? Just sitting there on eBay. And those are just the ones that I looked up. I'm not giving you a specific one. You want to buy his 2012 Prism Auto? There's one of those in the PSA 10 for a lot less than I thought it was going to be. His Prism Silver, which has a low pop in 2012-13 in PSA 10, cheaper than I thought it would be. Pop in the 20s. Pops around two dozen on that. And those are cards, obviously, in a different range. There's a couple $100 for a Flawless Auto of his. I mean, the Flawless RPAs are a little more. The Impeccable RPAs a little more. But there's no shortage of Kyrie. The 2012 Prism is actually approachable if that's the way you wanted to go. I'm talking about like a PSA 10, 2012 Prism base. Those have all come down. But Kyrie's actually less than like Lillard and Davis and those guys. When they were kind of running in tandem, they were around the same price. They've all been beat up. Kyrie's been beat up a little bit more. So my thought on him is just take a look while nobody's looking, because he's coming back. I don't know if he's just going to be playing road games, but he's now working out with the team. He's now, he's now back in. They changed their stance on it. You're going to see him start to play. And I think that team with the three of them is going to be very difficult to beat.
This is another problem, man. They're going to be a really big problem. Did you search my alt history? Because like 3-4 days ago, I was looking at Kyrie cards. And I was going to buy a Kyrie card, actually. I did it. I got scared off of buying 2012 base Prism.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of pulled away. But I thought his autos were so cheap. Like his autos and his patch cards were dirt cheap.
Well, I was shocked. That's why I went straight for an RPA, right? And the gold standard is a nice one. It's a cool looking card. It's the year before Giannis. It was a couple hundred bucks. Available now. You know, a couple have sold this past week, so obviously other people are looking at this now, but it's not something that the, you know, the general public, the bandwagon has jumped on yet. So that was why I went there.
All right, I got like six plays, so might as well take up your time. I know you got to get Ian in 2 minutes, so I'm going to give all these plays in a very, very slow fashion. Which one should I start with? All right, I'll start with my favorite. So you know Topps Dynasty, right? Mm-hmm. I found what I think motivated that design, and I wonder if you've heard of this. It's called Fleer Legacy.
Yep. Nice card.
It looks like a carbon copy, so I'm going to share my screen with you guys. So I'll give you an example. Like, here's a Randy Moss 2001 Fleer Legacy card. Here's a cool one, Nolan Ryan, up for auction, PSA 10, Pop 5 with a game-worn patch here. Really cool card, right? It reminds me a lot of those Topps Dynasty cards that are becoming very popular now. Let me give you another one. Here's Don Mattingly, PSA 10. Here's LaDainian Tomlinson. This one doesn't have a patch, but this is numbered out of 999.
Yeah, similar. Literally, similar with the white, you know, the white with the action shot, the face, the whole, yeah. I mean,
so I like Fleer Legacy. I love 2000s athletes. Like, I love LT. I love Corey Maggette. I don't know why I always think of Corey Maggette. I just love the 2000 athletes.
These are cool because they're numbered right on the card, right? Right on the front of the card, they're numbered. And, you know, that was like new. That was a new thing in the late 90s, early 2000s. Not everything was numbered.
So I'm not going to beat this over your head. I just think it's a cool design. There's no specific player I think you should go for. They have baseball and football. I'm not sure if they have basketball. You guys could do your own research, but I love the Fleer Legacy. I think it's a really nice card. And here's a Kurt Warner game-worn patch from 2001. I would take a look at this because his documentary is coming, his movie, it's not a documentary, it's coming out on Christmas Day. He's doing a podcast tour. He just did an episode with Ed Mylett. I've talked about Kurt Warner before. Mm-hmm. So this one right here, 55 or best offer for a game-worn patch out of 25. I think it's a good deal. Next card, I want to talk about, I'll go right here. So I want to talk about Darius Garland Cage. Did you see Kendrick Perkins take Darius Garland behind like Trae Young and someone else is one of the best point guards in the East?
No.
He's been lighting it up, man. He's been lighting it up. He's been playing really, 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 really well. And he looks, with Sexton gone out, it looks like he gets more responsibility, he gets more freedom, he gets to shoot more. And I'm not necessarily saying that Garland is a play right now, but I did look at a chart, right? And I'm curious, Cage, right? So do you agree with this? We've had a market reset, or are having a market reset, where we're trying to find this equilibrium price, right? Where I think in a good market, short-term performance should have some indication of where the card price goes, but not overreact. So I think last year we had overreactions, right? One game from Bol Bol, his card went 8x. That to me feels like an overreaction. Luka, game winner, his card goes 2x, and it was already steamed. That's an overreaction. But I also looked at that chart on Darius Garland Silver, and what I saw was a market reset and starts to perk back up for a player that is performing well. Do you agree with that from like just a 100%. Chart perspective?
100%.
I would start looking out for that chart for other players that are playing well. One guy that I want to talk about is Mikal Bridges. So I think this Suns team is forming a Warriors type of duo. I think if you look at the Suns team, they are a carbon copy of what the Warriors were in 2012-13 with a young Clay, a young Dre, and a young Steph. I think DeAndre Ayton is going to be the Draymond Green of this team. Big man. He plays well defensively. He plays his role. Good culture guy. Very smart IQ. Very different players, I understand. I think Booker is going to be the Curry. And I think Mikal Bridges is the Klay Thompson. And you saw Darius Garland. You saw $380, $340 for the silver, mm-hmm. $300 for the silver. What do you think of Mikal Bridges' silver PSA 10 is?
Probably about the same.
Dude, it's $80.
Wow.
And half the pop.
So older, right? It's 18, right?
Yeah. $80 for Mikal. Like, I don't know if you guys have seen Mikal Bridges play, but I think he's a top five under young talent, both sides of the ball. Both sides of the ball. He's an incredible defender. And he's a really good player.
the cool part about that is, one, lower entry point. Two, at least for this season, you know the Suns are going to be playing meaningful basketball, while the Cavs' storyline is just going to be, wow, they're performing better than we thought they were going to perform, and that they could be really good in a few years, right? So I think if I were given the opportunity, I'd be buying four Bridges instead of one Garland.
But so let me tell you how I found this play, because this is the best part. So we had My Slabs on, Ken and Matt. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to go play around with my My Slabs account, right? I want to be prepared. I love searching newest listed. I don't know why I love it. And the first card I see is Mikal Bridges. And I saw the silver. It was $90. And I hit buy it now. We had the guys on. I want to support their business. I was like, a silver. I told you right away. I got that and a Jordan Estrella card where he's dunking. And this is just little benefits of being on, like I said, all of these tools. Mm-hmm. You get to spot really cool cards. My final play. So, guys, I did buy one Prism PSA 10 Mikal Bridges for $90 off My Slabs.
Maybe we'll give it away. Maybe we'll give it away to one of you guys now. I'm not taking it.
Nobody's going to have it. Pry it from my cold.
I'll buy it from you and I'll give it away. I'll let you make some profit. We'll give it away. I can't go on a diatribe about how I don't buy the stuff and then you tell people you bought one.
You're a whale in the hobby.
Yeah, I am. Ooh, hello, whale.
I teeter between losing all my money in NFTs and going and booking a yacht to Croatia. It depends on the day. So that's the category I'm in. And lastly, I saw this on newest listed on Alt, and I didn't buy this. Albert Pujols, man, his cards are so cheap from 2001. I think like PSA 9 was like $70.
Yeah,
I couldn't find a 10, but dude, this is going to be a top five player of all time. Like yeah, Albert Pujols is incredible, and it's a card that's not going to boom. It's not going to go insane, but it's going to have that slow, steady. This is a collector card, so yep. You don't have to dump it on anybody. No poop emojis here. We'll wrap with that. Those are my three plays of the day. Let me know what you guys think. Any final words before we wrap?
I have a question for you because I know we're short on time. How do you feel about LeBron?
Just kidding.
Guys, we love every one of you, and that includes you, Card Porn, because you are a member of Luka Nation, whether you like it or not, because you only made that post because you listen to us religiously. Because that was a recent episode, and we love that you listen, and we love the feedback, so keep it coming, right? And no BS, guys, you can say what you like about Card Porn. They do a good job, man. They do. They keep people honest. And this one here, I love it. I love the whole deal. We love you, Luka Nation. Thank you, guys.
Peace.
Thank you for spending some time with us on another episode of the Luka's Tigers and Bronze Oh My podcast. Do us a favor and like, subscribe. Now, you know what? Don't just like and subscribe. Everybody does that. If you like us, tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your enemies, tell everybody. And we hope you got something from spending some time with us today, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.